This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And, well, today, it's still two women. But not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with her smile.
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio, here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a time, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing just fine. So what do we have to report for our week? 4th of July, how'd that go?
It was nice. I had a few people over, my sister and her husband, Ed, and Meyer, Tommy, and yours truly, and then Doug Smith stepped in, and we had a good time. Then we went. I saw fireworks. I went to see fireworks, I should say, on Wednesday night in Granton.
Mm-hmm.
Deb
did
Peterson
you do your
and
thing
I.
You went
yeah,
up on
we
the
tried
roof?
To. They had it blocked off, but we did go in, sort of into that section. And
okay.
Then so Deb Peterson and I went to watch those, and then on the 4th, we went to the stadium. We sat up over near WNEP, below WNEP, and we had a perfect view. There were a bunch of cars, lots of people parked on the grass and all over the place. And then we sat there and watched them, and they were wonderful. So a little bit late because the game wasn't over until after 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. We had a good time. So then afterwards, I went and got an iced tea at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, okay.
And my son Sean's like, Mom, at 10:30 at night? I said, yes, doesn't matter. It doesn't keep me up, so it's okay.
You are so lucky.
I know.
I cannot do that.
I know.
It just really keeps me wide awake.
Lots of people say that.
Wow.
Like I have my sister-in-law, she said, I can't drink caffeine after like 7 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, good, no.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so.
And then there's Patrick who has
a pot of coffee before and sleeps like
a
baby, right?
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's how
says.
I do. I could drink coffee and not stay awake.
Wow.
It doesn't, I wish it jazzed me up more than it does. But
like
it doesn't.
You need it.
I know, but it doesn't. I wish it did. Oof.
Well, so. we went nowhere. We sat in a couch.
And
the
chair. And my chair. Did anyone sit in my chair?
No one was in your chair.
Oh, all right. No. Okay.
We were watching from the couch. And we watched the Macy's display.
And
it was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was just incredible what they had done. And I guess this was a very important milestone for the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't remember what, maybe the 100th year or something like that. But they did very special effects on the bridge itself. And obviously the bridge was closed because you couldn't possibly ignite all these fireworks with people driving. But it was spectacular.
Oh,
it was just wonderful. And I loved watching it because I didn't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
I don't think I've ever watched. Is that always on?
Yeah, about 9 o'clock it starts on 4th of July.
I don't think I've ever watched that.
It's really spectacular.
Yeah, cool.
Beyond anything I can, and it's continuous. It runs for 25 minutes of continuous, incredible displays. So, and they in the background they have all of these people singing, and all the patriotic music. It's really pretty cool.
Love it.
So we did that, and then the next evening, Pat's cousin, who was with us from Washington, D.C., and he decided that he wanted to go to the Alpine, which is one of his favorites.
I know where that Cresco or Mountain Home?
No.
The Alpine. Don't mind me. That's an old, there was a German place. I forget what it's called.
I
don't even know. Do you know which one I mean?
The big beer barrel?
Yeah, and I forget the name of it. Oh, you mean in Honesdale or wherever it is?
Okay. Right before Honesdale. It was, he's in the military, and he had lived and done some work in Germany. And he absolutely loved the food and thought it was just fabulous. So he rediscovered the Alpine. It's been there for so, so long. But he wanted us to go over, so we did. We joined him. And there were some fireworks going on somewhere in the distance, and we saw those as well. But this was fascinating to me to look at that menu because it was just probably 90% meat. That was and monster sizes, monster portions of meat. And there were all the bratens, the sauerbraten, something braten, whatever. But there was also some kind of fried things and potato pancakes and applesauce and coleslaw type things. And the soup was prime rib soup with cabbage and something
prime
else in it.
Prime rib soup.
Yeah. It was a very different menu. Not something that I really was a fan of because I'm not a real heavy meat eater. Yeah. You know, I can't eat all that. And one portion was enough to just, he ordered some ribs and he ate what he said were half of them and he had a full half plate left. And it was just incredible. So if you like meat and you love gravies and all that kind of stuff, that's the place to go.
Yeah, they say that. As a matter of fact, they help the cultural center with your, where you won the very first, you have the distinction of winning the very first cash prize there for their Oktoberfest. They help the cultural center with brats and stuff for that event because it's Oktoberfest. So
yeah, and of course all those beers too, which you can imagine there's so many of them. But I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, me either.
But it was very interesting. It was a different type of meal that I haven't had in a long, long time. Patrick loved it. He had a steak. And some other good stuff. So it was different, and I liked it. It was enjoyable, but it was just pouring that night, pouring, pouring, pouring.
Uh-huh.
A tough ride back from the perspective of started to get foggy, and it also was a two-lane road, plenty of deer.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so anyway, we did that.
And well, that was good.
It was good. It was really good. The only day we actually went out for a boat ride, I think, was Sunday. That was the first time it actually wasn't raining and was not so hot that you couldn't breathe. So we did go out for a boat ride, and it was nice. But I want to say nary a spider, just so you know, not a single one on the boat.
Okay, well, that makes me want to come then up there.
And then I was the one who drove the boat.
I know. How about it? How'd you do?
I did very well.
Did you go fast?
No, I didn't go fast.
Are there speed limits?
No. It's just really more of the capacity of the boat and the engine.
Okay. But don't you think some people are crazy up there?
Oh, they are.
It's scary. And the waves they produce is scary. Especially if you're just like hanging out. You know, those waves are intense.
They are. They really
rock the
boat.
I love the sound of boats, though. Like, is it a bell? What's on them that make that sound? The buoys against the base of the boat. Yes. I don't know what it is, but I love that.
But it's also hitting the water. You know,
well, that's
when it hits
true.
The water,
that's,
you hear that.
I love it. There's something so soothing about that.
Yeah.
So beachy almost.
It's
kind
very
of.
It's funny that every time we do go out for a boat ride and come back, you go through the procedure of you take everything off the boat, then you have to put the boat cover on, and then you walk up to your car and you go back to your house. And it's inevitable that within that first half hour after you've been off the boat, you could sleep like a baby.
Uh-huh. It's the racking. It's the motion, the water, the sun. It's all of that. Contributes to your brain saying, I could sleep now, baby. Being rocked or cradled, it's that same natural feeling.
Like being back in the womb.
With the water, right.
But once you get back to that and you sit down and you, I watch everybody just nod off. People just fall asleep.
Patrick was already asleep when you got home because he didn't even go, right?
No, that's correct. Can't even attribute it to that.
No, I can't.
No, that was an exercise in futility in that case.
Well, you went. You had a good time. You had a nice couple days. It was a good weekend.
It was a wonderful weekend. They say this weekend
is going to be nice as well.
And we stayed there another night.
Another night, I know, which is fab.
I came back Monday evening. Right before dinner.
I love it.
So it was nice. It was just 5 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
It was worth it. Nice.
That's nice. Well, I see you have lovely, shiny, sparkly earrings in today. I wonder which person with good taste gave you those.
I don't know.
They are, Lynn, they look stunning on your, they're Sabika earrings because
she gave them to me.
I did, and they are stunning. And Sabika is we may have spoken about this, but what the heck. Sabika is a family-owned business owned by a woman and her daughters. The woman's from Austria, I think, originally. Mm-hmm. They are in Pennsylvania. They're in Pittsburgh. And it's a consultant. You have to buy through a consultant. It's not sold in stores or anything. And our dear friend, Sandy Pegnani, is the local gal who... she also owns City Limits Hair Salon. And we have been dealing with Sandy now for many years. I love her. As a matter of fact, last night, this is why it's a perfect segue, Mary Beth DeAndrea and Mary Jean Hunt and Dixon and Sandy Pegnani and I went out. We went to La Cucina for dinner. And we had a lovely time. And we all had some piece of Sabika. It's beautiful jewelry and I just love it. It's great quality and they look stunning. Sabika-jewelry.com and it's beautiful stuff. And Sandy, I do parties. What's great about them is it's a female owned and run company. It's a Pennsylvania company and they do special pieces for Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. And if you have a party, they will also donate to a nonprofit. So I've been doing the last couple of years, whatever we sell, they donate 10% of the party cost to the nonprofit, which goes to Hospice of the Sacred Heart. So it's kind of nice the way they do their
Did you say
work.
What that word means?
No, I don't know what it means.
Oh.
I have no idea, but that's the name of it. And it was funny. I just met this young woman the other day, and she had a piece on, and I said, is that Sabika? Because it was a chain type. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. And she buys from Sandy, too. So I told Sandy last night, I just saw someone with it on, too. So real pretty stuff. But that... I always say, do you ever notice Lynn Anna Wintour when you see her with her three round stoned necklaces? She's kind of, it's her signature style. That Sabika stuff reminds me. I don't know what hers is, but it reminds me of Sabika in many ways. But those stones are beautiful and they're Swarovski crystal. Mm-hmm. So, and they're nicely made. So Lynn has like white hair and black glasses. And then these have a very white stone with a little drop of a clear stone and they just look fabulous.
Yes. I decided to put them on today because I knew that you would see them.
Uh-huh. I love them.
So yeah, it's kind of cool.
And then
it's bling.
Yeah. And then that was our Wellick group. We were out and about on Tuesday night too.
Yeah.
So but I was around all weekend. I really didn't do much this weekend. Just, I had some, unfortunately, I had to go to two viewings. But my dear friend Francine Ferraro's, she's been one of my best friends since second grade. Her dad passed away. So I was at her dad's viewing on Friday, and a dear friend, Joe Malazzo, who was president of Malazzo Industries, who's been a dear friend of mine since, middle of 1996. six, somewhere around there. We met at Make-A-Wish, and I just loved him. His daughters and his ex-wife, I'm very friendly with them, and it's just, it was heartbreaking. He was just 56 years old and just a wonderful guy. So it really hits you when you go to two funeral homes back to back. Not that, I mean, many people have to, but it's, wow. Especially young, you know, but no matter how old, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And every time you go in, you can't help but feel your own loss and pain, right? It just brings back all those same memories. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now back to Laurie and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm specifically designed for the financial planning needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of...
BBW, baby boomer women.
Yeah, BBW. Mm-hmm. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, POTP.
Yeah, they have a ring to it, don't they?
And that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Mm-hmm.
So, last time we were talking, we mentioned about an article that I said I thought was really interesting because the person who wrote it was a retired Wall Street Journal journalist. And the title is The Biggest Surprises in Retirement. So we talked about it in general the last time, and I said that I would come back to it because I think it's pretty interesting. So one of the first things he said, like surprise, the guy's name is Glenn Rufinock. And he said, like surprises, retirement, for better or worse, will change your life more than you anticipate. That's a consensus of those who should know best, retirees themselves. So what did the experts neglect to mention? What would you tell would-be retirees to watch for? The answer, in short, is almost everything. He says surprises ran the gamut from the wonderful to the devastating. Many readers told us they were surprised that their savings and are holding up just fine, although several said that household expenses and Medicare premiums in particular have been steeper than they anticipated. Relationships, conventional wisdom holds that making friends in later life is difficult, but numerous retirees told us the conventional wisdom is simply wrong. They also told us, however, that they miss being part of a team at work much more than they imagined. I think last week when we talked about this, I mentioned that you and Randy were referring to each other as your house, work husband.
Yeah,
and
lots
work
of people
wife.
Do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because that truly is the team that you're developing with people that you work with all the time. And when you arbitrarily pick a date and say, that's it, I'm tired, I'm not working anymore. Most people don't really anticipate the sense of loss they feel.
Yeah.
Because it really is
absolutely
a loss.
Well, Lynn, did you see the paper this week where it said, and I didn't read the story because I have three days of paper that I have to catch up on, but where it said, I think it was 23% of people will not retire.
Yeah.
They have no intention of doing so. At the age that they can, is my point.
Yes.
They can retire and they absolutely refuse
not to. They choose not to.
I think it was 22, 32, something. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it was more than what it was, I think, 15 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is a significant difference in the number of people who are choosing to continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it's all inclusive in that statistic about the number of people who continue to work in their same job in the same company.
Yeah, or if they retire and go somewhere else, right?
Yes, as consultants.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't read it. So.
Or they also could decide to do something totally different, but they're still out there earning money.
Right.
And that's the differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they think of retirement, think of it as being the absence of earned income.
Right.
That's not necessarily true, and most people would go stir crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How many divorces do you know have been?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. You mean after people retire? Really?
Yeah. I married you
divorce
to
thing?
See you at night and on the weekends. I didn't marry you to look
to see
at your
all
ugly
day
face
long.
24/7.
Wow. Then again, I know some people who just travel and they love it.
And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that wears out after a while. You know, travel becomes your job for some people.
Yeah.
So here's some of them. He talks about the joys of taking a risk. There's a woman named Patricia Plumeri, who's 69 years old and a retired accountant. She found a second career and lifetime occupation as, improbably, a guitar player in a four-person ensemble near her home.
I love it.
The seed, she explains, was planted during her teenage years in southern England, where she grew up watching fledgling bands, the Beatles, Pinks, the Rolling Stones, perform in local music halls. A guitar, she recalls, seemed to be an instrument that could readily express feelings of joy and sadness. 6 months after retiring in 2010, when, quote, I could make a major time commitment to doing something purely for my pleasure, end quote, she signed up for her first guitar lesson.
Oh, my God.
Progress, she notes, was painful. Hours of practice each week left her fingers numb. I would go to my gym and swim in the pool, gently massaging my left hand to get feeling back into it. Today, her group, which includes her husband, also retired on bass, plays 2 hours weekly. Performing in public, at least for the moment, isn't part of the plan, but other rewards suffice. She said, I wanted something in my life that wasn't income driven. The feeling of accomplishment and the realization that I can actually play a guitar is pretty heady stuff.
That's great.
I love that. Then there's another guy who says, reader after reader made the same point. Retirement is tailor-made for a leap in the dark. This one guy said, I thought of hobbies and other interests that I was expected to do, but in the end did something totally different. He's a retired engineer. He said that something is volunteering full-time with children's programs, college students as a mentor, senior home repair, and his church.
Aw.
He did it all.
That's a mix.
Yeah. Even doing good involves risk, he said. Tasks will come your way that, to your thinking, are a waste of your talents or an affront to your dignity. He said on more than one occasion he found himself addressing waste plumbing systems in homes that were a phone call away from being condemned. There's also a risk of getting too committed and not being able to say no. The more you do, the more is wanted. Such hazards, though, tend to pale beside the payoffs, he notes. Excuse me. There's a deep satisfaction from knowing that you've changed someone else's life for the better. And then the other thing that was a surprise in retirement was discovering the unexpected luxury of time. I love that phrase, the luxury of time. That observation from Vicki Robb, a retired real estate agent in California, was echoed in dozens of the responses we received. Even though retirement today, as opposed to 20 or 30 years ago, is seen as more active, more purpose-filled, many readers told us that active isn't mandatory, that it's fine simply to chill.
Do nothing, yeah.
Ms. Robb, for one, says there is now time to take an extra moment to exchange pleasantries, a time to let someone in a hurry go ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in quotes, she said, the hurried person used to be me.
Yep.
Time to play with a child at their pace and to meander when shopping instead of power walking to find the item and get her done.
Yeah.
And so I think about that every time I have to laugh because I'm not a shopper.
We know.
You know, somebody who likes to go in and hang out. I go to a store because there's something I need. I get it and I leave.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what she's talking about. There's time for slow cooking and to drive a friend to the airport. Time to waste a morning at your first art class, even though you'll never sell anything. A companion theme was the idea of control. Retirees discovering that they are in charge of their daily routines, not their boss, their clients, or their children. The biggest surprise was realizing how much of our time when working was determined or dictated by someone or something else. In retirement, though, almost everything we do is because we decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhilarating. And then they talk about a retired pilot who told us his days are filled with an eclectic mix of projects and chores, working in a small orchard on his property, shopping, walking the aisles of deserted stores mid-morning during the week is pure joy.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, I just think that's cool.
Yeah, because those are things that you really... They drive you nuts, and when it's busy, and then you have the opportunity to experience it differently, and it feels good.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple.
And he said he also takes in the occasional movie matinee.
Oh, I love it, too.
That's great. And for good measure, building a small airplane. The point, he manages the schedule rather than vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge myself daily with work of my own choosing, he notes. I get satisfaction from a well-built fence or a blemish-free restored piece of furniture. This is really funny. And the airplane... He said the kit came with 10,000 rivets in large cardboard box. So I used the level of remaining rivets as a thermometer of progress. At last count, I have 9,000 to go.
Oh, boy.
So that's some stuff. And then, you know, they talk about careful planning that pays off, financial surprises. That's where, you know, I come in. And this guy who's a retired engineer divides his time between Colorado and Ohio. If you want to have a comfortable retirement, sacrifices are necessary while working. Well, okay. Interesting, several readers pointed to the same factor as playing a critical role in their financial success. Eliminating debt before leaving the workforce. I could do 20 minutes on that alone.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to. But interesting that the latest magazine from AARP has something that's in there for Jean Chatsky, who's their...
I love Jean Chatsky.
...person in residence.
Yeah. She's on the Today Show a lot, Jean.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
She's a very high-profile person.
Yeah, she's good.
She is good. I like her. But she said something about the big question was... I have a mortgage going into retirement. My husband doesn't want me to have it. What's the reason for why I should and shouldn't keep it? She does a whole thing about it. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe we'll do that another time. But this idea of having to get rid of all your debt before you leave the workforce is not cast in concrete. There's a lot of reasons that it may make more
especially
sense.
Especially a house, right? The mortgage.
Yeah, and a mortgage.
It's good debt, right?
Yes. It makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway... And they talked about getting hit by high costs. We said that about Medicare premiums and household expenses. They were much larger than they originally anticipated. I generally, when I do the planning for people, I have them do out that, not necessarily a budget, but a spending pattern and how much they anticipate. Then I add 20% on top of it because mm-hmm. there's so many things you don't realize that you pay for mm-hmm. that may be things that are automatically withdrawn from your checking account and you don't notice it, or it goes onto your credit card or something. And so when you're looking at what are my expenses, you forget about those.
Right.
But they are very important. And there's nothing we can do about increases in Medicare and Medicare and Part B and prescription drug coverage. When they tell you that that's what it costs, if you want to go shopping,
then
great.
Then you do it.
Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, but for most people, it's such a drag to go through all that, that once they do it, they just think it's the cost of doing business. Forget mm-hmm. about it. So the other thing I think is important that people say, you can figure on 80% of your pre-retirement income in retirement. And he said that's quite hogwash. The big reality is you'll spend 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about
yes,
that before. Yeah.
Yes. And he said travel and recreation add, medical adds, family duties add, vehicle maintenance, a lot of things.
Yep.
So,
well, we're going to take a quick break. And
it's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC. It's a financial planning firm designed specifically for the financial planning needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
Okay, I just wondered. I thought maybe we lost each other there for a moment. One of the things that I was very much interested in talking about is an article that was written by a woman who has her own website called 60andme.com. And she's really fascinating because she just keeps reinventing herself all the time. And this particular blog post, like Madonna. Yes, exactly, exactly. This particular blog post that she did was about women entrepreneurs and some advice she has for them. Six ways for an older woman to become a successful entrepreneur. And I happen to love the picture of this woman who's above this article. But anyway, 60andme.com. So she says, obviously, that the numbers are rising dramatically of entrepreneurs aged 55 to 64. And research by the Kauffman Foundation, which is like the gold standard of entrepreneurship, it indicates the increase from 15% in 1997 to 26% in 2015. Wow. And, of course, we know that the number of those that are women-owned firms are increasing 2.5 times the national average. So she said that what she thinks, which might make a big difference, is that the reason why women can be successful in later years as entrepreneurs is because, she said, older women have a wealth of experience. We know that. I can think of far more advantages of starting a business later in life. We've gained a wealth of experience and wisdom on our journey up the corporate ladder. We've worked at our careers and grown a network of useful contacts, which is your forte. And at last but not least, we don't feel the need to reinvent the wheel because we've already seen that a round wheel offers the best solution.
Exactly. Love it.
Okay, so she says that some of the advice she has in making sure that we succeed in this is don't involve your retirement funds. And if possible, do not use your retirement funds for your new venture. Ring fence them for when you need to stop work. I'm not sure what that means, but that she's British. She's British, and I think that might mean something there. But it's called.
I didn't hear the word though.
Ring, R-I-N-G, ring fence them for when you need to stop work.
Okay.
Which I guess it's something like, you know, put them someplace where you can't get your hands on them.
All right.
So that's one thing. The second thing is network. Use the network you have built over your career years to help you raise funds to start your business. Cool. Enthusiastic or opportunistic entrepreneurs are more likely to succeed because they tend to believe in themselves and their products.
All right.
And the next one, make sure your idea is sellable. Bounce your ideas off your personal network before you launch, and then define who your customers will be and what their specific needs are, so you can tailor your product to be attractive to them. And another suggestion is research. Use the internet. It's an amazing resource full of wonderful information. Always cross-reference, as it is also a source of fake news. And the next one is run a trial. Run a proof of concept to assess interest in your product or service before you sink a lot of money into the business. You only have to look at your Pinterest feed to see that women have great ideas, are talented and creative. As mothers and housekeepers, they are already familiar with managing budgets and the logistics of people. What women often lack is belief in themselves and the confidence that they can handle it. We all have days when we think that we cannot do it. I have them too. The saying, fake it till you make it, will stand you in good stead when it comes to having the confidence to run your own business. Mm-hmm. I think you and I have been there a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy on the fake. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you still have doubts, find a coach or a mentor to help you brainstorm ideas when you hit overwhelm and have difficulty seeing the wood from the trees. I think those are all really good suggestions. And we know how many, I think we could probably go through 6, 8, 10 women that we know who started businesses when they were over the age of 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've all been very successful. Would you agree?
Well, she's right about the, I mean, the experience that you get and what you learn and how what you've learned and the experience you've gotten can apply to what you need to do to start the business. It is absolutely, I think, crucial that you to have those type of experiences and then apply it to your own business. Because I think it's got to be harder, and I don't know this for sure. I guess I could talk to my sister because she sort of did it without really working elsewhere to start her own florist business. But most people don't just do that. They get some type of experience or understanding of the business world somewhere else, and then they take what they like to do and apply it to that. Would you agree or not?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that that was her point, is that by the time we are in our 50s or 60s, that experience is absolutely something that you cannot replicate anywhere else. All of what we've been through, what we've learned, the good times, the bad times, that feeds into a successful entrepreneurship, because we don't have these, I would say, flighty expectations of how fast we're going to make money and how easy it's going to be. We've been there. We've been through the tough times. We know that things don't always turn out the way that we expect them to. But I think the other thing, too, is that once we've been through whatever we've been through in our lives, the number of years we put in as adults, we also know that there are opportunities that present themselves, like what you and I were talking about the other day, that kind of come out of the blue that you did not anticipate. And if you're not ready to walk into those opportunities, you might just say, oh, I haven't had enough experience, or I don't think I can handle that. And that was her other point, that women don't have enough belief in themselves. So I think that there's a lot of women who actually could be extraordinary entrepreneurs, but they don't see that for themselves, and they're just too afraid. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that's true.
Well, the fear factor, especially if you're alone and you're, or you're a single mom, or you have nobody else to back you up, so to speak. That's a big, scary thing to look at and to actually say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, you've been there.
I know I have.
You've been there as a single mom who said, I'm going to do what I have to do, and you made it work.
Yeah, I mean.
And kudos to you.
It hasn't, as we talked about this morning in the last couple of days about all these kind of things, it's not been an easy road. It's you know, the decisions you make, the, you know, just everything about it. It was I guess that old line they say, you know, the fear of being without something, or the pain of being in something becomes greater than the fear of being without, is when you make a decision.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? So if you hate a job that much, or you hate what you're doing, or you just know, or it's become boring, or, you know, mundane, whatever it is, if that the pain, I say pain in using that loosely, but if that you really don't like it that much, becomes much more powerful than the fear of being without something, you'll make that change.
Yeah.
And without, by that I mean a steady income, not knowing what you're going to do, those kind of things are being without. It's a big, sometimes I think back and think, oh my God, like, what was I thinking? I was 48 years old, and Really? And I'm thinking,
I know. I was just talking to a guy a little while ago that was asking me something about my background. And when I started reciting it myself, I thought, wow, did you take some huge leaps of faith?
Yeah.
In so many things. And, you know, when I, like you said, when you look back at this, you say, what was I thinking? But the point is, I did it. And it turned out to be a great thing.
Okay.
But you had to have that belief in yourself that you were willing to jump in with all fours and say, I'm ready to go. I want to try mm-hmm. this. I believe in myself enough that I think this is better than where I'm at.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so, and then I think the older you get, Laurie, the more willing you are to take those risks. I don't know if it's because your mortality is staring you in the face. You know, it's like, if not now, then when? Or whatever it is. But I just think older women are ready to do that quicker than a lot of younger women.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think, too, it is so crucial, so, so important to have a network of women and men, but primarily women, who can support you in your decision, and people can lift you up and tell you you can do it and can be your guiding light. Because if you don't have people in your corner like that, it's a whole lot tougher to keep going. Like, I'm just fortunate that I have so many wonderful friends who have either done it before or just believe in it and are there. You being one, taking a risk, even with the radio show. How many years ago we talked about this? Well, you know, yeah. I was doing some stuff there, and you said, I'll do this if you do this. And then it ended up that we decided together to do something. So, you know, those kind of things, if you don't have a woman in your corner who believes in you, it's a whole lot harder.
Yes, it is. So, and I think also, once you make the decision to do something, if you don't have that network, which you do extraordinarily well, as we say in the promo, what is it? It's not about who you know.
Because it is who you know. That's what I said. Because it's true. I mean, it is. You need help all the way through life. And when it comes to people, you throw things up. You get little bits and pieces from people that you respect and you know have been there. It helps. So And I'm one of these people who have to talk and talk things out and get a couple different opinions from several of my friends, and then I kind of piece it all together, and that I think it works out very nicely.
Well, that's true.
With a couple of guys thrown in there.
Yeah, but true that women are far more collaborative. You know, we will do things like you just mentioned. You and I can do something together. We started to do this with the radio show. I'll help you to do this. You help me to do that. And then something else came out of it. But it's that willingness to help each other, that no fear of being somebody that's got a territory that they have to protect. And that's how it works, and it works well.
Well, and including these our sponsors that we have year after year after year, who believe in what we do, believe in the product, and it works. And last night we were sitting having dinner, and we were talking to Charlie and Betty Newcomb. He was going on and on about how he listens to us all the time, and Betty said, "I do too. It's not just him." So, you know, big shout out to them, because that's what happens everywhere we go. Somebody says something.
Absolutely.
So, It works.
Okay.
Well, that's the end of it.
We're out of time here.
Whoa, baby. All right. Well, I guess we'll take our leave. So I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. It's going to be a beauty, and as was today. And see you next week. Be safe, and please be nice.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.